Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, January 16th, 2020, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. The first hour was a rebroadcast of the November 21st, 2019 broadcast, but we are live this morning, and I want to continue on that cultural Marxism stuff. We'll sort of wrap that up. It's interesting, you know, the gaslighting that goes on and the conspiracy theory type stuff. You know, is cultural Marxism a conspiracy theory? I mentioned that in yesterday's archive. You know, you think CIA memo 1035-960 from April Fool's Day 1967 and the idea that, you know, the aim of this dispatch is to provide material for countering and discrediting the claims of conspiracy theorists so that it was to inhibit the circulation of such claims. And they said overseas, but I mean, come on. You know, Ralph McGahee was at the CIA for 25 years. He said that disinformation is a large portion of its responsibility, and its target audience, primary target audience, is the American people. So I tend to believe that more than this nonsense that we're usually fed. You know, I guess maybe the way to put it is, why would you believe the liar who tells you the liar's not lying to you when the liar's been lying to you all along and you have proof of that? You have evidence of that. The liar says, you know, I'm not lying now, which probably calls to mind Mike Pompeo's remarks for some people. But, you know, for others, I guess you can just blindly follow wherever Machiavelli leads and no harm will ever befall you. So, I want to start this morning's broadcast with a clip from the London School of Economics. This little, the first part of this is like a minute and a half long, but the first part of this, Professor Ricardo Reyes answers, are we on the verge of global recession? London School of Economics, you know, speaking of liars, it depends on who you ask, and you should expect you should expect what we hear in this clip. Go ahead, please.
Asking an economist whether we're going to have a recession in the near future is a little like asking a doctor, I'm going to catch the flu next week. I can't tell you for sure whether you're going to catch a virus, but I can tell you whether you're more likely to catch it given your current health condition, whether it's the flu season, and whether in general I see a lot of patients that seem to be going in that direction. Likewise, when we're talking about whether we'll have a recession soon, I can tell you first that we're in the midst of a very long expansion, the longest in recorded history in the post-war United States, to give an example. And so it wouldn't shock anyone if a recession came. Recessions do come, and they're inevitable that they will come. Second, I can tell you that, look, if it is a recession, it will likely be a global recession insofar as the trigger now seems to be indeed the changes in trade policy that have been enacted and that have made it harder for businesses to plan as well as to engage in trade in a way that maximizes output or that at least allows for some economic stability. And third, if I think about what is the near cause, not the near cause, but already the symptoms, we can look at Germany, one particularly important region in the world, that does seem already to be entering a recession in terms of slowdown of manufacturing output and pessimism of people. And so likely they will be in a recession 2020, even though Germany is but one region in the euro area and but one country in the world.
Asking an economist whether we're going to have a recession in the near future is like asking a doctor if you're going to catch the flu. Well, you know what? Professor Reyes, I have not had the flu in a long time. And so, I don't know. I think it's easier to predict something that you can control. And the London School of Economics was set up by the Fabian Society as part of that cabal and that plot that Carol Quigley wrote about. I hate to harp on it, but the book description says Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. What is the origin of the London School of Economics? Carol Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. And so it was President James Garfield, wasn't it, who said, when you, whoever controls the volume of money in our country is absolute master of all industry and commerce, and when you realize that, the entire system is very easily controlled one way or another by a few powerful men at the top, you'll have no you won't have to be told how periods of inflation and depression or recessions originate. And I mean, some people will say, oh my goodness, that's a, you know, that's just a conspiracy. Well, it is actually. That's exactly what I mean. Two or more people planning in secret to do something nefarious and unethical and unsavory. Planning to do a bad thing, but you know, in today's moral relativist society, thank you, Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism. Who knows? Maybe bad is a relative term. But I was going to say, you know, just on the face of it, I mean, we're fed this story of George Soros allegedly crashing the British economy, you know, the British pound, and so I mean, isn't that an example of exactly what President Garfield said? And by the way, he didn't live much longer, apparently, after saying that, you know, as seems to be the case. Someone says, you know, this is interesting. This seems to be how it works. Nah, you don't last much longer after that. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's something that's, even on the Oracle Illusion page, Soros is known as the man who broke the Bank of England because of his short sale of $10 billion worth of pounds sterling. Made him a profit of $1 billion during the 1992 Black Wednesday UK currency crisis. Well, I mean, isn't that one man doing exactly what President Garfield said? Whoever controls the volume of money is absolute master of industry and commerce. When, you know, you realize that the entire system is very easily controlled one way or another by a few powerful men at the top, you'll not have to be told how periods of inflation and depression originate. So, you know, asking an economist who is part of a control system, you know, right up at the apex of it, whether a recession is near for the rest of us is a silly question. So in similar fashion, we're going to continue to explore this thing called cultural Marxism. The point is, this conspiracy is right out in the open. It's one guy has allegedly controlled economies of the world. Now, Professor Reyes says that as far as the next recession is concerned, it's probably likely to be global. And that's not a surprise either. And so, because, I mean, that's, isn't that what the plot has been all along? So, to hear that things are going according to plan shouldn't surprise anyone, if that makes sense. I think it does. It's just that simple. Most people can't possibly fathom, is how could it be that simple? I don't know. Tell me how the St. Louis Federal Reserve has on its website that who owns Federal Reserve banks. They say the Federal Reserve banks are not, and the word not is italicized, not a part of the federal government. How is that possible? They exist because of an act of Congress. Their purpose is to serve the public. So, is the Fed public or private? Private or public? The answer is both. Well, the Board of Governors is an independent agency, and what does that mean? Ask Alan Greenspan. What the relationships are don't frankly matter. Since the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, independent of what? Well, of you, of me, of us. Federal Reserve banks are set up like private corporations. Huh. So how is that possible? That sounds like a conspiracy too, right out in the open, right out in plain view. Just because it's so repugnant, just because the thought of it is so disturbing, so deeply disturbing, so unsettling, does not mean it's true, not true. It seems like the mind is repelled, and therefore people say, nah, that can't be possible. That's terrifying, and therefore it can't be true. No, that's false. Yes, it is terrifying, but it can be true, and it is. And we've seen all kinds of lawlessness in, let's just say, the post-9/11 era. I like that piece that Glenn Beck did. What the heck was that called? It's Big Corrupt Government. Glenn Beck on why it's time to audit the Federal Reserve. No, not audit the Federal Reserve. It shouldn't be a private institution controlling the supply of money and benefiting handsomely. This is a parasite, not just on America, but on the world. Actually, that'd be a good thing to play, and then we'll get into the cultural Marxism. They go together. By the way, Rhonda, sorry we missed you. I noticed late. Feel free to call back, and we'll grab your call. Anyway, I want to play just a few minutes of this thing that Glenn Beck did. Remember this back in 2018? I played it a few times last year, and I think in 2018 also. But as we go out, I think this would be a good reminder. It's Big Corrupt Government, stupid. That's what it is. We ought to get rid of the Federal Reserve, starting with that. You know, you don't have that funny money stuff. You don't have the opportunity to do funny things. Or certainly less of an opportunity, which is why bad guys want to install this. But this is part of the lawlessness that we've experienced. Go ahead, please.
After the 2008 financial crisis, the TARP bailout, remember we were debating $700 billion. Well, I remember when $700 billion was a lot of money. Yeah, I do. Anyway, $700 billion, huge number. But several years later, after Bloomberg successfully won a Freedom of Information Act request, it was discovered that the Fed was doling out a little bit more money than that. Just a little bit.
Here's what the Fed didn't want you to know. From August 2007 to April 2010, the central bank put $1.2 trillion of public money at risk in secret loans to financial institutions.
Oh. So even though Congress only approved $700 billion, they doled out $1.2 trillion. Of course they can. And don't you dare say anything about it. As Alan Greenspan said, there is no one that oversees us. So, we're talking the Fed. I'm just wondering, if they said it was 700 and now this report says 1.2, how much money did they actually print in our name and dole out to their buddies? Was it 700 billion or 1.2 trillion? Or
we have spent a lot of time in Congress talking about the $700 billion TARP bailout, which I voted against, as it happens. Not a whole lot has been talked about with regard to the $2.2 trillion that the Fed has lent out.
Okay, so it was 700, now it's 2.2 trillion. That's just three times more than the government said you could do. But it gets a little hairy from here. It gets a little crazy. His journalists were like, whoa, wait a minute, can I get my hands on those documents? And it seems like the real figure was actually just $7.7 trillion. But wait, there's more. If you act right now, the 2011 Government Accountability Office pieced together everything they could, and it can be yours at the low, low price of, wait for it, limited access, putting together a report, nobody's talking about it. Rand Paul, Bernie Sanders seem like the only ones that care, right? How's a friggin' socialist one of the only people talking about the GAO's latest findings? Here's the updated number. Go ahead, Bernie.
As a result of an independent audit that some of us helped to bring about in the Dodd-Frank bill, we learned, Madam President, that the Federal Reserve provided a jaw-dropping $16 trillion in virtually zero interest loans to every major financial institution in this country, to central banks all over the world.
Now, I'm telling you, honey, sooner we're not going to be able to afford the cat food. Oh, hang on. $16 trillion! That's it. When you factor in the asset purchasers, the researchers have found that the real number is not even that number. It's actually $29 trillion. But you're not going to find out where all that money went. Who in the Fed benefited from it? Oh, yeah. One little pesky detail came out in the GAO report. Small little blurb on how the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, William Dudley, he owns stock in American International Group. That's short for, AIG. Oh, I bet he didn't benefit at all when AIG was among one of the money laundering money institutions that was bailed out. Yeah. Now, some might call that a conflict of interest. Others might just say, this is illegal. But if you work for the Fed, doesn't matter. They can call it whatever you want because they can do whatever the heck they want. Now, Senator Sanders, again, a socialist, would say that this corruption is all due to capitalism and the big banks. But here's the real issue. It's big, corrupt government. Bankers will always try and make money. But the root cause of all of this is when Woodrow Wilson, of course, signed the Federal Reserve Act and gave the keys to our money supply to a group of private banks. The people that invented the Fed, the concept, they did it at Jekyll Island. Doesn't that sound like a bad idea? They were all the who's who of the banking industry. The president of the National Citibank, the heads of J.P. Morgan, the president of Bankers Trust, the heads of the major investment firms. Of course, they just wanted to protect the industry and the American people. And they took the power to control monetary policy, and they were also handed the biggest client in the world, the United States government. The collusion between government and the Fed not only serves the interest of the banks, but it also does one huge thing that benefits big government politicians. It keeps the government in debt. Now, Glenn, oh my gosh, why would you say that about the... How could keeping the government in debt be sought after by bankers and progressives? Well, how many times have you heard somebody on the left say, well, you know, having a national debt is actually a good thing? I ever wonder why they believe that? We did. Yeah. Check out this quote from Alexander Hamilton pleading his case for a central bank back in 1781. Quote, it'll be a powerful cement of our union. It'll also create the necessity for keeping up taxation. Wait, what? The banking industry, good old boys, keep exploiting the system for their benefit, while the government maintains a reason to take more of your money through taxes. Is it time to audit the Fed?
Yeah, not time to audit the Fed. That's a great piece. I mean, we are so marinated in the nonsense and the criminality and the lawlessness, though, that I don't think that it really is that upsetting to most folks. And, you know, what do you do about it anyway? It's a big issue. And this is really, this is the source of the justification for remarks by people like Professor Ricardo Reyes, you know, asking an economist whether we're going to have a recession in the near future is like asking a doctor, am I going to catch the flu next week? Well, you know, maybe if you get the flu shot, probably. You probably end up getting the flu. I mean, I haven't had a flu shot. I don't think I ever have. And I don't remember the last time I had a flu thing. You know? So, it's less easy to predict or more difficult to predict when you can't control it, it seems. So, but that's the little, you know, the strings in the B movie or the, you know, the parlor trick, the stupid parlor trick. It takes the illusion away. It's not cool and sexy then. Couple more entries, I guess. You know, maybe we'll do this because we can. Speaking of what Alan Greenspan said, you know, I've mentioned that it disappeared, the September 18, 2007 conversation with Jim Lehrer on the NewsHour. Greenspan examines the Federal Reserve. If you look at the entry now, it's, well, there's really nothing left of it. There's a cute little entry, as I mentioned. Yeah, it's back at a different location, you know, and you can put a redirect, page redirect. If you want people to find that content, and what you do is you, if you reconfigure your site, you have a redirect point to the new location of the content. Of course, there isn't one of those. There's just a, nope, we don't, no, can't find it, sorry. No effort to find it. In this day and age of, you know, massively greater horsepower, you can't do that on a site like PBS. It's telling. But when you do actually find it, Greenspan examines Federal Reserve mortgage crunch. You are woefully disappointed in what you find. However, some of us have it recorded. In fact, I have it in that little, the one video. It's too priceless not to hang on to. And all of the other stuff, you know, all the links, as I've mentioned before, they seem to, most of them have disappeared. It's interesting stuff. These little blurbs from history that, now, this is why the internet is not necessarily particularly well suited for maintaining historical accuracy, you know? So here's what Alan Greenspan said with Jim Lehrer on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer back in 2007. Yeah, we'll do that. It's only a little bit here. So about 30 seconds or so. Go ahead, please.
2007.
What is the proper relationship? What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency. And that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. And I've had very good relationships with
there you go. I think Alan had a secret conversation somewhere after that, or one that we weren't privy to, and, you know, oh, that was too much? That was too... Oh, okay, yeah. Some people caught wind of that. And he has told us much. There was that... I wish I could find it. That CFR interview he did with that young Asian lady. And she, you know, he was talking about gold. He has said that several times. I mean, there's the, you know, the golden economic freedom piece, of course, from 1966. That's the big one where he says, you know, if somebody does what I did as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, later, after he wrote this article, well, then, you know, he's part of the tyrant's status tirade on gold and trying to enslave the people. But, you know, there was the clip, you know, gold is a currency. Greenspan speaking, no, that one's gone. All kinds of sound bites. But then there was the one, that infamous, you know, well, we'll play it when we come back. You can always print more money. What? Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org. and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You know, this is an important subject and one we don't learn about in America. You learn about it at, you know, people like Professor Ricardo Reyes learn all about this kind of stuff at the London School of Economics. But, you know, if it was really the kinder, gentler world we're led to believe, then that knowledge would not be occluded from the rest of the world and squirreled away at places like the London School of Economics. It wouldn't be hidden from you and I. The reason it has to remain hidden from everyone else is because if people really understood the fraud and the criminality that was being perpetrated on us all every day, the real crimes, not this specious nonsense that the cultural Marxists have cooked up, people would be up in arms. I dare say that, you know, I mean, it's not impossible to imagine. Again, when you see how George Soros' native Hungary has treated him, I think that, it's a clue as to who and what he's really all about, and B, that it's not impossible to distance your society from those kinds of destabilizing efforts. And then, of course, there's that infamous Steve Croft 1998 interview that just, again, keeps vanishing from the from the pages of history, or the interwebs anyway, that, you know, certain people want all of us to forget. But it did happen. 1998, 60 Minutes. Where George Soros basically says, yeah, you know, I was a good Nazi. Oh, you mean you were like, you were one of those guys, Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men. Only you were one of the guys that enjoyed it. Obviously, you were, you know. hey, I can have this stuff for myself. Sweet. George Soros, the Zek. That scene, you know, from Jack Reacher, Werner Herzog. Enough. What is enough? We take what can be taken. This is what we do. That's George Soros. But, you know, again, I still think he's a mule. CIA mule. That's it. All right, so let's talk about this money stuff. So Alan Greenspan, the Federal Reserve, you know, can do whatever it wants. It's the Federal Reserve, you know. Since the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and as such, you know, well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that we can do whatever we want. Glenn Beck remembers. We heard Alan Greenspan say it himself, even though that has largely vanished from the interwebs. It's not in the, it's laughable. You see the words, read the full transcript on that PBS NewsHour entry, and it's heavily redacted. I mean, you can just see it reading. That's not a full transcript by any stretch of the imagination. You're telling me the whole broadcast consisted of these few remarks? Ridiculous. Tell me that's not on purpose. I'll believe you. But explain how, just in posts like this on PBS, how somehow the video is gone, the audio is gone. And I talked about how those disappeared slowly over time, I noticed, as we tried to play the video and the board op said once upon a time, yeah, it's not working. Can't play it, can't play it, can't play it. So, and I kept thinking, no, it's there. I see it, it's there. Go ahead, just, nope. The player was there, the video was gone. Oh, well, the audio was still there. So we played the audio for a while. Then that player went away, and I knew where the link to the audio file was that was still on the server, and now that's gone. So what do? It's just, it's ridiculous, you know? Why do those things just disappear without magically reappearing somewhere else? How is that not on purpose when it's these clips, but not all of the clips? So anyway, Alan Greenspan, golden economic freedom. What is money? You know, this is the question. And so Greenspan has said from time to time, interesting, provocative things like gold is currency. Gold is a currency. And it's unique. That interview with the Asian young lady, it was a CFR interview, and he was saying, there's something. And no one really knows what. We really can't figure it out, but throughout history, anywhere you go, from the most backward civilization to the most progressive and innovative, gold is always money. Isn't it funny how we're not supposed to have any of it? Since the FDR days, you know, it's called hoarding. You want gold? That's hoarding. Well, then how come guys like, you know, these handful of people, why can they hoard it, quote unquote? For them, it's just, you know, it's just smart investing. For the rest of us, it's hoarding. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, what is money? So there are interesting things floating around. You know, people ask the question, I guess people ask the question, why can't we just print money to pay off debt? I mean, that's a question that children ask because it's an honest question. But then people get, you know, hit over the head for years and years with this meat tenderizer that tells you not to ask, you know, propaganda, social engineering, cybernetics, and so forth, tells you not to ask questions like that. We just don't ask questions like that. Some people do. So the channel Wonder Why asked that question back in 2013. Why can't we just print more money to pay off debt. And here's the first minute or so of that. It's interesting. We'll talk more about that. But here's that clip. Go ahead, please.
Have you ever wondered why countries can't just print more money to pay off their debts, or to feed the homeless, or to fix unemployment, or any other issue for that matter? Now, this might seem like a rather silly question, but I think it's one of those questions that people might be too embarrassed to ask, but there's no shortage of people wondering. The short answer can be summed up in one word: inflation. Inflation is defined as a persistent, substantial rise in the general level of prices related to an increase in the volume of money, resulting in the loss of value of currency. But I'll get to that. First though, we need to establish exactly what money is. Now, this may seem obvious, but something that you need to understand is that money has absolutely no intrinsic value. What that means is that money in itself has no actual value, it's only considered valuable because it can buy things. But if you were stranded on a desert island, money would be totally useless. Money only has value because we believe it has value. This is called the Tinkerbell effect, something I learned about from Vsauce. The Tinkerbell effect is used to describe something that only exists because we believe it exists. And this is the case with money. Hypothetically speaking, if people suddenly started to believe that money had no value, it wouldn't have value. Of course, it wasn't always this way. Money has been around for millennia, and when it was first used, it was in the form of commodity money. Things were traded that had actual value and uses, like salt, spices, horses and weapons, as well as precious metals such as gold and silver, which technically don't have any intrinsic value either, but due to their rarity, they're almost universally accepted as currency.
Okay. That's the sophisticated version. You know, again, you have to understand that this is a system. That there is a system that has been set up. It was John Kenneth Galbraith, right, who said that the process by which money is created is so simple the mind is literally repelled. It's a scheme. The Mandrake effect, as J. Edward Griffin would say. Mandrake effect. Or is it the Mandrake mechanism, I think? Mandrake. Yeah, mechanism, I think is what he calls it. Anyway, so the Mandrake mechanism, yeah, or the Mandrake formula. Anyway. So, it really is this simple, even though we're led to believe it's not. So why can't we just print more money? Oh, inflation? I mean, that's, you know, when you understand that the Federal Reserve prints a currency that has debt associated with it. So you print one, you owe 1.5 or 1.05 or whatever back, you owe one plus something, which means you can never pay it off. It's perpetual debt slavery. This also is a source of wars, because of, well, when people figure that out, they get upset historically. We don't seem to be terribly concerned about figuring it out these days. So anyway, why can't we just print more currency? Why can't we just print more money? And there's some interesting stuff in there, you know. Commodity money and this Tinkerbell effect. Greenspan spoke to that, you know, the same thing again in Golden Economic Freedom. In the absence of the gold standard, there's no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. And Keynes was clear about that in the economic consequences of the peace in this Keynesian system. Keynes even said it, you know, admitted it. Gold stands as a protector of property rights, Greenspan wrote. The way Greenspan put it, you know, speaking of commodity money, Greenspan wrote, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. Do people understand what that means? You can never step away and in, you know, Fourth Amendment fashion be secure. We can never stop everything and say, okay, hold on a second. Not another session of Congress will be convened. Not another day of work, not another anything will happen until we get this figured out. The American people, I believe, still have that power. But because we don't have any safe store of value, there's no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. What does that mean? That means that you're always in the rat race. Because people are confused. As Robert Kiyosaki says, you know, Rich Dad says that people don't understand what an asset and a liability is, just in simple terms. You know, you're told that your primary residence is your greatest asset. In a sense, maybe, but like he says, Rich Dad says that an asset puts money in your pocket and a liability takes money out, and your primary residence does not put money in your pocket unless you're into the, you know, you're going to VRBO your primary residence and have people camping out with you, and you're going to rent out your primary transportation now too, because that's the new thing, right? We'll rent it to you and you can rent it to others. But seriously, it's not in that context an asset. People are confused. No wonder you're miserable. You're confused about these things. So in the absence of the gold standard, there is no safe store of value. There's no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. If there were, it'd have to be illegal, Greenspan wrote. If everyone decided, for example, to convert all his bank deposits to silver or copper or any other good, thereafter declined to accept checks as payments for goods, there would be no Tinkerbell effect. Bank deposits would lose their purchasing power, and government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. And so you have the welfare statists and, you know, London School of Economics mouthpieces who want to protect their Mandrake mechanism. And it when you really dig in on this issue, it comes across as the Dewey-Oxberger sort of sales pitch. You know, John Candy's character from Stripes. Doesn't make any sense. Because it doesn't make any sense. Because it's just as simple as John Kenneth Galbraith said. And it's just as criminal as John Maynard Keynes admitted in The Economic Consequences of the Peace. And so it's astonishing that the American people in particular are not up in arms every morning or, you know, incessantly because of the criminality of the scheme. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Welcome back. You got a system that seems to print currency arbitrarily. Again, Glenn Beck did a good that. It's big corrupt government. That was a good piece on that. It was a few billion, few hundred billion, actually. But actually, it was several trillion. Wait a minute. How did that work? It can print currency arbitrarily at its own discretion, apparently. Lawlessness, that's what you call that. So then why can't we pay off all the debt? We'll get back to that. You know, why can't we just print money to pay off the debt? When you really understand the Dewey-Oxberger explanation, then you understand the criminality at work here. Let's go to the phones, though. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Well, not too bad, Rhonda, all things considered. How about you?
All right. Hey,
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Okay. So it's interesting because I came to your program late, so I didn't realize that you were a repeat. And then I was like, well, I don't want to talk off subject, but I did have a few things to say about this.
Whatever you like. If you have comments about the rebroadcast of the November 21st, 2019 broadcast, that's fine too.
Well, I think it kind of all coincides really because we're talking about narcissists here, I think. And I remember when I was young, growing up, making my first paycheck. And, you know, when you first make money, you're like, well, you know, my sister wanted to borrow some. I'm like, my first paycheck was like $60. It's like, I can't trust you to pay me back, right? So,
yeah.
You know, you take money seriously when you're young. And, you know, your parents raise you and they teach you how to manage it. And then something happens, you get older, you go off to college if you have support pretty much right away. Or you don't feel comfortable going to college because you don't want the debt, and where is that going to get you anyway? So, anyway, your clip that you played, somebody in Congress, wasn't it? Somebody saying that, you know, they didn't, well, they don't take it seriously because they act like they're shocked that more money was printed, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're the scapegoat, I think. I think they all know. And like you said, they'll just print more money anyway, but with the comment I made on one of your previous broadcasts, I said, well, it's a concept, but that's not exactly what I meant. Sometimes I get on here and I go, that didn't make any sense. So I'm going to try to make it make sense after the break.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well, I look forward to that. And so we'll do that when we come back. Stick around for folks, more right after the short break here. Be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.